This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Those who understand the day of Qiyamah, they understand these nights and these days and this ibadah. It's those who are heedless about the reality of the day of Qiyamah. They don't read Surah Qaf. They don't read the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam developed some white hairs. They said to him, Ya Rasulullah, shayyabta. We see some white hairs on you. He said, shayyabatni hudun wa akhawatuha, Surah Hud. And the surah similar to Surah Hud have made me white. Because of the description of the day of reckoning in these surahs. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو أن إنسكم وجنكم, if all of mankind and all of jinnkind, from the first jinn and the first mankind, gathered together with the last jinn and the last of mankind, you all came together and you asked from Allah and you asked again and you begged and you asked and Allah gave you and gave you and gave you and gave you and then multiplied what He gave you. After giving you, you will not reduce from the bounties of Allah except the reduction that is experienced when you dip a needle in an ocean and lift it. What hangs on to the needle? Don't even say a drop, because we know the drop falls back into the ocean. It decrees nothing from Allah's bounties. The Quran is miraculous in nature. And one of the ideas regarding this i'jaz, this miraculous nature of the Quran, is its level of eloquence and its ability to share different messages across the spectrum of Arabic language activity at a level far greater than the greatest poets the Arabic language has ever known. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. May Allah accept from us. Say ameen. Ameen. Could be Laylatul Qadr. And even if Laylatul Qadr was on another night, alhamdulillah, the mercy of Allah is such that Allah will take our best night and make the rewards of that night across all the nights of Ramadan. So the way the Sharia is designed to keep us moving forward, alhamdulillah, that even if it was the 23rd night, for example, and we did what we did, mashallah, in terms of worship, in terms of the pledges, Allahu Akbar, amazing, amazing response from the community for the sake of Allah. If this was a better night in terms of execution, Allah will take the rewards of this night and place it on the night that was Laylatul Qadr. So alhamdulillah, we're only in a win-win circumstance. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's take what we can, inshaAllah. Today, obviously, we heard the 28th juz of the Quran. And that's because we are one juz ahead of the nights that we are experiencing, so that we finish on the 29th night. But as of our tafsir, we sort of broke away from the nightly program. So we're still behind, alhamdulillah. And for those who missed it, we said whatever we don't complete this Ramadan, we'll package it and keep it as dedicated sessions across the year, inshaAllah. Today we want to start at Surah Qaf. And this is because we stopped at the surah before Surah Qaf yesterday. And what will make you understand Surah Qaf? SubhanAllah. Surah Qaf is a Makki surah. And you understand now what Makki surahs are about. They are potent dosages in iman building. But this is a unique Makki surah, because the rhyming arc in the surah is just phenomenal and off the charts. And we said that the Quran is miraculous in nature. And one of the ideas regarding this i'jaz, this miraculous nature of the Quran, is its level of eloquence and its ability to share different messages across the spectrum of Arabic language activity at a level far greater than the greatest poets the Arabic language has ever known. And remember, we said earlier, the verses of the Quran are not fiction. They haqq and true and the truth. Poets would bring about fiction to bring about a matching rhyme, to fill a gap between a segment of verses of poetry. But this is not the case with the Quran. And how can it be the case when it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's from the Lord of the Arabic language, the Lord of the human being. Surah Qaf is dealing with the genre of knowledge that we find in Meccan revelation, but at a level of Arabic language ability that no doubt is going to pull the attention of the Arabs. That for those who said Muhammad is a poet, let's say, how can an unlettered man come with verses like this? That now he's teaching us what he's taught us, but in a poetic arc that is unknown in the Arabic language to date. It doesn't even exist in the hanging odes, meaning the lines of poetry that the Arabs were so proud of that they would hang on the Kaaba. There were certain pieces of poetry that were considered to be at the highest level of Arabic language existence, that they were so proud of it, they placed it on the Kaaba. Here is Surah Qaf, and it just annihilates everything that they knew to be great in terms of the Arabic language and poetic eloquence. And subhanAllah, we didn't recite it today, but it was recited, and we are in the best nights of the year, the nights of the Qur'an, so make a point of reciting it. Now, 45 verses of the Qur'an, Abdullah ibn Abbas says this is the 34th surah revealed. If we go by revelation or order of revelation, then the order of revelation makes this surah at number 34, even though it's not number 34 in now the final collection of the surahs of the Quran, as we have the Quran from cover to cover. But in terms of revelation, and we see Surah Iqra, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, Surah Al-Alaq, was the first verses revealed, and we have it in the 30th juz. So in terms of revelation, it was number 34 according to Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it was revealed through estimation around the 5th year of the prophetic mission. So after he called people to Islam, or after he was sent, after he was sent as a messenger, the 5th year after Allah sent him, this is the year that the surah was revealed. So we can appreciate what's happening, because for us to appreciate the Quran further, we go back to the seerah. And we see what was happening in the 5th year. Did persecution start against the Muslims? Before we know, there were persecution upon slaves who belonged to a people, the family of Ammar. We saw what happened to Bilal. These were slaves, they were owned. The persecution was there from the beginning of Islam. But persecution of the Muslims, for being Muslims, even though they're from reputable tribes, when did this start and so on and so forth? This gives us an idea, subhanAllah, of the impact of the Quranic discourse. That this Quran, subhanAllah, not only is it a message, it is a guide, it is a weapon, subhanAllah. Because those who are going about the way, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting to them the Quran. And those who are undergoing the persecution, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting to them the Quran. So the verses have a dual function. To disturb the momentum of those who think they have momentum against Islam. And to upgrade the momentum of those who truly have momentum, the people of Islam. So one verse is serving a dual function. It's an obstacle to the people of disbelief and an opportunity for the people of belief. You cannot have this in Arabic poetry, in the messaging that comes from the brain of a human being. This is something, subhanAllah, unmatched and unheard of. That by mere virtue of these verses, the statement that he's a poet is a misnomer and something that is nonsensical. To anybody who had an objective mind from amongst the Quraysh, it's nonsensical. Cannot be. This cannot be. What he's coming with is unheard of. And he is unlettered. I spoke to you briefly about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam needed Ali radiallahu anhu to show him where it said Rasulullah on the page. It's an unlettered man. So where could he have learned this poetry from? What was he reading? Who was teaching him? This is something beyond human capacity. From the virtues of the surah is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to recite it generally in the prayer on the days of Eid. This is one of the surahs that he would recite. I know we know Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la, and we know Hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah. Surah Qaf is also one of the surahs that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite. And a woman named Hisham bin Haritha, who was a neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she says that she memorized Surah Qaf to memory only because she often heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting Surah Qaf, and she heard him recite it even in the Jumu'ah khutbah. Subhanallah. That he stood on the minbar and the Jumu'ah khutbah was Surah Qaf, from Qaf wal Quran al-Majid. Subhanallah. Imagine, the Khatib stands up and he speaks. And he speaks words of the divine, of the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How impactful is that? Far greater speech than the speech of man. So she says she learned this from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's recitation of the surah during the days of Eid, and also from the mimbar. And other sources say he would recite it in the Fajr prayer as well. So it was something frequented by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the subject matter of Surah Qaf? If I can just distill it into one subject, the hereafter. Surah Qaf is about the hereafter. Immediately, with phenomenal eloquence, it teaches us or reminds us of the beginning of creation and how the beginning of creation was. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. Allah created mankind. It teaches us about the reality of life. It teaches us about the punishment of the life of this world. It teaches us about death and resurrection. It teaches us about paradise and hell. It teaches us about reward and punishment. But again, remember, with a style far different to the other Meccan surahs, because the poetic arc from beginning till end is just mesmerizing. Also, the end of the surah is connected to its beginning. And the madar, or the hub, that connects the end to the beginning is one reality, and that is the Quran. And perhaps that's why this surah begins with just one letter from the letters of the Arabic, Qaf. And the word Quran begins with the letter Qaf. And Quran referring to something that is read. Quran referring to something that is recited. And also something that is gathered, because there's a gathering of verses from cover to cover. This is from the meanings of Quran. Qaf. And immediately after, Allah mentions the Quran. Wal Quran. And I said this to you before, that these disjointed letters, it's a form of challenge to the Arabs. That here are letters from your language, and here's a Quran in the Arabic language. Try and produce a verse using your own letters that can match what has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qaf wal Quran al Majid, the very first verse of the surah. The last verse of the surah, Allah says, Nahnu a'lamu bima yaqulun, wa ma anta alayhim bijabbar. فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدِ. Subhanallah. At the beginning, Allah says, Qaf, by the honored Quran. Allah takes an oath by the Quran. At the end, Allah says, we are most knowing of what they say, O Muhammad. And you are not over them a tyrant, even though they try and portray you to be this disuniter. Allah says, carry on your mission. And remind them by the Quran, whoever fears my threat and my punishment. So the Quran is a reminder. And the best da'wah is the da'wah done via the Quran, through the Quran. And that's why today when there was this discussion, should we shorten the Taraweeh? I said, carry on with the Taraweeh. I know the fundraiser went a little bit longer. So there was this idea to make it easy for the Ummah. Maybe let's shorten the Taraweeh and recite tomorrow. I said, la abadan, let's complete the Taraweeh. It's the Quran. The Quran, we carry on with it. It's never enough. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anh, he would recite in his home and he would cry and he would be moved and he would be shaken by what he would recite. And he would go on and on and on and never stop. And people would start fearing for his life. The homes were different to our homes today. In fact, in the UK, maybe those homes are the same homes. I know this. Attached homes, ya akhi, we hear everything, isn't it? Someone plugs their mobile phone, you know that someone plugged a mobile phone. Sometimes the TV is loud, they start knocking the wall from the other side. Huh? So they would hear from the outside and they would shout out from outside to Uthman and say, enough, ya Uthman, enough, you're going to harm yourself. And he would shout back out to them and say, if you knew the reality of the Quran, you would delete the word enough from your vocabulary. It's never enough. It's never enough. So on a night that could be Laylatul Qadr, kalla, we've never shortened the Taraweeh. Complete the surah. As we've been doing since the beginning of Ramadan, complete the juz, alhamdulillah, we did. So this is the Quran, my brothers and sisters in Islam. وَحَذَارِ حَذَارِ. I warn you, from the position of sharing with you a signpost, in case Allah asks me on the day of Qiyamah, do not park the Quran on a shelf after Ramadan. Do not be those people. And the pious before us were asked about a people who do this. And they would say, Bi'sal qawm, they're the worst of people. لا يعرفون الله إلا في رمضان. They don't know Allah in the Quran except in Ramadan. May Allah not make us from amongst those. Be with the Quran. Yes, your intensity might decrease. Ramadan is a special month, but it shouldn't decrease to zero. If you are doing much more now and you have to do less later on, at least do it. Have a sitting with the Quran as you have a sitting with your mobile phone. Sorry to use this example. You, how you sit with your wife, your husband, your children, your parents, make sure your day doesn't end before you have your sitting with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure that your day cannot end. This is something that I have to do before I sleep. This should be our mandate. Because this Quran was revealed over 23 years to establish the religion for which you and I are believers today. We cannot be established or aid the establishment of the religion to the future generations if we are away from the Quran, that we are with the Quran, and when we're not with the Quran, our days are the same. We read the Quran, alhamdulillah. We didn't read the Quran, alhamdulillah. Kalla, this cannot be the way of the believers. We have to have a daily sitting. Make this part and parcel of the promise between you and Allah this evening, that Ya Allah, from now on till I pass away, I will sit with your book, Ya Allah. And if I can't read, I will listen, but I will dedicate time. And listen, a dedicated listening. Not the Quran is praying and I'm cooking and I'm cleaning or I'm... A dedicated listening. This adab, this manners with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, let's take some chosen verses. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. Allah says, indeed it is we who created mankind. We created humankind. And these are verses that dispel these theories. The theories of the ape, and mankind came via an ape, and so on and so forth. Evolution and so on and so forth. There's many verses in the Quran. This is just one. Allah says, we created mankind and we fully know what their souls whisper to them. The nafs. Remember we said there's a nafs. Allah says, nafsu here. The translation says souls. Remember that last discussion. Is the soul the nafs? Is the ruh the nafs? We said that a nafs is the soul connected to the body in the life of this world. Allah says, tuwaswisu bihi nafsu. When you live the life of this world, Allah already knows what your soul connected to your body, this nafs is whispering to you in terms of following your desires. Allah knows it. Before you know it, Allah knows it. Allah says, we created you and we know you better than you know yourself. So there's two ways you're going to go about life. The right way or the hard way. The right way by following the blueprint that we've revealed to you in the Quran. Or the hard way where you don't listen and you learn through error. Just like we say to our kids, that I'm your father, I'm living life, I am 40 years ahead of you in the journey, 30 years ahead of you in the journey. The road you are yet to see, I have seen it. The neighborhoods you are yet to cross, I've crossed it. The towns you are yet to pass, I've passed it. I know what works and what doesn't work. I made mistakes and I learned from the mistakes. Now I'm calling you my son from 30 years ahead. And I'm telling you, son, the journey you're beginning, I've already done. Beware. After so many kilometers, there's this. After so many miles, there's that. Now you can go about this journey in one of two ways. By either listening to me, and you avert the dangers that I hit head on. Or you don't listen to me and you hit the dangers that I hit head on and you learn the hard way. And to be honest, what I'm sharing with you is an example my dad shared with me when I was younger. He would say this to me, that I'm calling you from so many years ahead and you have the option to learn the easy way or the hard way. And once the question was asked, if you don't listen to me, where will you be in 40 years time? And naturally you say, where you are. Where you are. And the answer was, no. You will not be where I am. Because I am a generation and you're a generation. My generation's ability to deal with adversity was superior than your generation. The problems that I hit head on, how I dealt with them, you will not be able to deal with them in the same way. If you hit them head on, it will take you far longer to overcome. In fact, you will call me and say, come and help me. So the children do, isn't it? They don't listen, but then they, when they're humbled, say, Dad, you are right. Which means, if you don't listen to me, in 40 years you won't be where I am, you'll probably be 10 years still behind. So you haven't helped yourself. And this is the reality of the Quran. It's common sense, right? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing the reality. We created you. We know you better than you know yourself. We've sent you the messenger. We've sent you the book. He's distributed the book. He's taught you the book. We helped you in every way. We didn't send this amazing revelation without someone to distribute it. We sent the distributor with it. So that you don't say, it came but it was far away from me. Or I didn't know about it. Like today we see about certain products. We say, well, we didn't know. They're not advertising it well. The program is not being marketed well. Right, Brother Ashfaq? Did we advertise the Eid well or not? The program well or not? It's a good program, but are we marketing it? Allah sent the Quran, and if we may use this term, the marketer, the one who came and distributed it. So now you are upon guidance. You know where you came from. You know where you're going. You know how to get there successfully. You know what works. You know what doesn't work. It's up to you now. As the Imam read in the Taraweeh today, فَمَنْ شَاءَ whoever wills, فَلْيُؤْمِنْ believe. وَمَنْ شَاءَ and whoever wills, فَلْيَكْفُرْ disbelieve. It's your choice now. Which route you want to take? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this in Surah Qaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. That no one understand. Whatever you decide to do, you have two angels recording your actions. One sitting to the right and one to the left. And they note everything that you do. Everything is being recorded. Real-time data is being captured. Real-time data is being captured. And it is data that you cannot evade. And as I mentioned to the sisters on the Sunday program about the hadith of Al-Bitaqa, there's a hadith in Sunan At-Tirmidhi and the other books of hadith about the hadith of the small card. I imagine a business card, a small card. On the day of Qiyamah, when Allah asks for the books to be weighed, and a small card will fall out of one of the books. Allah will say to his slave on the day of Qiyamah, when he asks the angels to produce the files, the angels will produce 99 files of sin, each file as long as the eye can see. And Allah will ask his slave, did my angels oppress you? Why would Allah ask that? Because Allah told you in the Quran, there's angels recording real-time data, live. What we're doing here right now, the angels are recording it. Every split second, he was in the masjid, he was in the masjid, he was learning, he was in a majlis ilm, he was donating, he was praying. La ilaha illallah. What a way to die. If Allah writes for us to die, Allahu Akbar. For the night that we had and the day that we had, what a day to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah preserve us in His obedience. Ameen. And use us for His deen. So the angels will record and Allah will say, did my angels oppress you? And the slave will obviously say, no, ya Allah. How can he say anything else? This is a day, as we heard in Surah Yasin a few nights ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim. This is the day where we will seal their mouths. The mouths that used to lie. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ and the hands will speak. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ and the feet will bear witness. In another verse Allah says, وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ they will shout at their skin, لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا why did you tell Allah about us? Why did you act as a witness against us? The skin will say, أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهِ أَلَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah made us speak. Who made everything speak? وَهُوَ خَلَقَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ He created you in the first place. He made us speak. That when you were hiding under your sheets, the skin was with you. You had a witness. You thought there was no witness. Your skin was your witness. When you walked to a place and you thought nobody could see you, your feet walked you there. They're a witness. So Allah is saying, we have the angels recording. There's no oppression. It's going to be recorded for you to see. And Allah's knowledge is from ever and forever. He doesn't need the angels. But look how Allah is merciful to us. That nobody lay claim and say, Allah is unjust. That Allah knows, but Allah will put procedures that are sensical to you so that you know as well. That here are records, here are books, read your books, subhanallah. And we read every Friday, Suratul Kahf, when the books will be presented to the slave. The slave will say, Mali hadha al-kitab. What is it about these books? La yughadiru saghiratan wala kabiratan illa ahsaha. It doesn't leave not even a minute action, let alone the large actions, except it's recorded it. Allah says, وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا They will see all the actions present, actions they didn't even remember. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا And Allah does not oppress anybody. Now scholars say, subhanallah, from this verse we learn that the small deeds will be presented before the big deeds, the small sins before the big sins. And what a destruction a slave will feel by just going through the list of small minor sins. And then it wouldn't be, okay, what's next? Next is the bigger sins, Allahul Musta'an. The major sins, Allahul Musta'an. But Allah is merciful. This is a merciful night. Talking about dreams, one of the universities that I lecture at, in a meeting with the rector, and they're all senior mashayikh in Saudi Arabia, one of the staff was saying that his brother's best friend passed away. So the rector, who's a senior sheikh in Saudi Arabia, was asking, I won't mention his name for the sake of confidence, but he's a very senior scholar of Saudi Arabia. He was asking him about his brother. So this teacher, one of the staff, was saying that, subhanallah, yeah, my brother was affected when his friend passed away, but he saw his friend in the dream. So the sheikh said, subhanallah, what did he see? He says, wallahi, he saw his friend with the scarf. You know the scarf we're wearing? But it was tied as a turban around his head. And it was dripping as if it was a cloud, raining rainfall. You know what we saw this afternoon? When it pours, thunder, a thunderstorm, a downpour, they call it. He goes, he had the scarf wrapped around his head like a turban, like our brother here, mashallah. Look, he just walked in to show us. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, this dream is not about you. You won't see that, inshallah. La araka Allahu makruhan ya Rabb. Allah save you from seeing any evil. And all of us. He says he was sweating. So the brother of the sheikh, the brother of the teacher, who's narrating to the sheikh, he's saying, my brother saw him tied with a scarf like this, and it was downpour. It was a downpour. It was, the sweat was dripping from him like a downpour. So I asked him, what did Allah do with you? He goes, wallahi, nothing was left out. Nothing was left out. Things that I totally forgot I did, they had no presence in my recollection. I saw it in my book of deeds. I was taken to task for every little thing. And then his friend said, and then what? He said, and then subhanallah, Allah forgave me for 2 units of salah I used to wake up and read before the Fajr prayer. Subhanallah. So the sheikh, the rector of the university, when he heard this, he broke down into tears. And he says, ya Allah, I hope this university will be the means for my forgiveness on the day of Qiyamah. Because he established this university to teach the Quran and the Sunnah and Fiqh and Usul and. And to Brother Ashfaq and your team, that's my dua for you all, that may this masjid be the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you all on the day of Qiyamah. And to the community as well, well done for standing with them. If we don't stand with them, where should we stand? You all stood up today. Barakallahu feekum. Allah says, مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Not a word does a person utter without having a vigilant observer ready to write it down. Subhanallah. Honestly, yesterday we spoke about ghiba. We say sometimes with ease, this is a troublemaker, or this person, it's written down. Khalas, it's logged in. سَتُكْتَبُ شَهَادَتُهُمْ وَيُسْأَلُونَ. Allah says, the shahada, the testimony, what you say and do will be written, and you will be asked about it on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah save us, subhanallah, ya Rabb. That's why we need Ramadan, we need Laylatul Qadr, we need these nights. Wallahi, you do not understand the mercy of Allah upon us in these nights, because the day of Qiyamah is a day of reckoning. The one who understands the day of Qiyamah understands the value proposition of these nights, understands Ramadan, understands the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, understands this concept of keep your money in your hands, not in your heart. Those who understand the day of Qiyamah, they understand these nights and these days and this ibadah. It's those who are heedless about the reality of the day of Qiyamah. They don't read Surah Qaf, they don't read the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam developed some white hairs. They said to him, ya Rasulullah, shayyabta, we see some white hairs on you. He said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. Surah Hud and the surah similar to Surah Hud have made me white. Because of the description of the day of reckoning in these surahs. And the instruction of what Allah did to nations who didn't listen in these surahs. It should make you fear, but not a fear that turns you away from Allah, a fear that makes you run to Allah. Because you know your Lord is merciful. And you match that fear to the love that you have for Him for everything that He's done for you. So we don't share these verses to break us, again, to calibrate us. You'll hear me say it over and over again. Ma'alesh, as the Arabs say. I will say it. It's to calibrate you. Allah says,
وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدَ.
Ultimately, with the throes of death will come the truth. Allah says, death will come to you. بِالْحَقِّ. And Allah says, this death is what you were trying to escape. Allah says,
وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ الْوَعِيدَ.
And you'll be in the grave and you think that's going to be long and the trumpet will be blown. And Allah says, this is the day you were warned about. You were taught about this day.
وَجَاءَتْ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَعَهَا سَائِقٌ وَشَهِيدٌ.
Each soul will come forth with an angel to drive it and another to testify. An angel will drive you to Allah and an angel will come as the witness. Subhanallah, think about a court. You're driven to the stand and the witnesses are brought to the court.
لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا.
It will be said to the denier, you were totally heedless of this.
فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ.
Now we have lifted the veil of yours, so today your eyesight is very sharp. You can see everything you read about, everything you were taught about, everything you were spoken to about. You can see it with the sharpness of your eye. Mubasharatan, it's a live feed. All this is in Surah Qaf. So the reality is in Surah Qaf. Then objectivity as well. And I spoke to you about objectivity, and this is from the second chosen verse. For Allah says,
Inna fi dhalika la dhikra liman kana lahu al-qalb.
This Quran is the guide. But for who? For the one who has a qalb, who has a heart that is objective to the message that is being recited to it. But subhanallah, look at the mercy of the Quran. It is also a guide. Allah says, "O alqa as-sam'a wa huwa shahid." A guide for the one who doesn't want to give the Quran its heart, his heart or her heart, but he lends the Quran an attentive ear. Even then, the Quran will guide you. Even then the Quran will guide you. Subhanallah. So Allah is teaching us in this verse that if you're objective at a higher level, you'll be guided at a higher level. And at a lower level, even by mistake, the Quran is so powerful, it will guide you. And Ibn al-Qayyim, he discusses this, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his Al-Fawa'id, this verse in pages, spans of pages. And he says, look what Allah is telling us. Allah is saying the message is being fed. But with every message that's being fed, you need a receiver. I have a microphone, I'm speaking through the microphone. There has to be some receiving device that receives it and sends it through the speakers for you to hear it. Correct? If I speak and nothing receives it, will there be output? Ibn al-Qayyim says this is the reality. The Quran is being broadcast, it needs a receiver. That receiver is a heart that's objective. But a heart that doesn't want to be objective to the level that it should be, if it just lends an attentive ear, even then the Quran will help you. This is the nature of the Quran. So my dear brother and sister in Islam, when we are not guided by the Quran, then really what is our circumstance and situation? This Jumu'ah khutbah I said to you, that the Prophet said Ameen when Jibreel said, curse be upon the one who witnesses Ramadan and they leave Ramadan without being forgiven. Why? Why would the Prophet say Ameen? Because Ramadan is such a month that even if you didn't try enough, even if it was just by mistake, it will benefit you. You will be forgiven therein. And I said this to you before, that we have a Lord that's so merciful. He gave us the greatest gift, which is Islam, when you didn't even ask Allah for it. Imagine, my brother and sister, what Allah will give you if you ask Him for it. Subhanallah. He gave you Islam and you didn't ask. What will He give you if you ask? This is our Lord. So objectivity is in the Quran. Tayyib, let's move on to Surah Dhariyat. Surah Al-Dhariyat, another Meccan surah, consisting of 60 verses. And this surah gives the good news of the emergence of a new community at a time when, subhanallah, the community was being suppressed. And it also warns the opponents of the truth that their time is about to attend, that everybody has their day. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا مَا تَمَّ نُقْصَانُ. as Abu, not Abu Ishaq al-Biri, this was said by who? This is Abu al-Baqa al-Randi, the Andalusian poet. He said, لكل شيء إذا ما تم نقصان فلا يغر بطيب العيش إنسان هي الأمور كما شاهدتها دول من سره زمن ساءته أزمان. Beautiful couplets of poetry. Mesmerizing as well, but not to the level of the Quran, of course. لكل شيء إذا ما تم نقصان. Everything comes, it reigns supreme, it reaches a peak, and then it will dip. Everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Dhariyat is empowering the believers that listen, remain stationed, remain patient, the emergence of a new community is about to begin. And that happened maybe 5 or 6 years later, subhanallah. Because hijrah happened during the 13 years after the prophetic mission began. And also it's a warning to the people of Mecca that carry on being arrogant right now, but know and understand that you will have your day as well. We find sections in the surah. Number one, falsehood is about to end. The righteous shall be rewarded. And Allah teaches us about the character of the righteous people. If you want to emerge, a new community wants to emerge, you have to have certain characteristics. Allah tells us about this. Allah tells us about Ibrahim alayhi salam and the angels that visited him and the discussion between him and the angels. Allah teaches us the fate of the people of Lut, those who left the females for the males. And Allah mentions Musa and the fate of Fir'aun and the people of Ad and Thamud. And he mentions Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, peace alayhim as-salatu wasalam, meaning peace and blessings be upon them all. And Allah pushes us to hasten towards Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights for us in very clear words the objective of your existence and my existence. I'm going to try and cover that very quickly. In terms of delivery, like Surah Qaf is very potent. And remember earlier I said Allah reveals the short burst verses as if it's a chisel with a small hammer knocking a block of ice, trying to get rid of the external parts that are not needed whilst maintaining the main block that is needed. We're seeing this in these verses. Have you not heard this the last few nights? Short bursts. Surah Al-Dhariyat as well. Subhanallah. Surah Al-Dhariyat is like this. والذاريات ذروا فالحاملات وقرا فالجاريات يسرا فالمقسمات أمرا إنما توعدون لصادق وإن الدين لواقع والسماء ذات الحبك إنكم لفي قول مختلف يؤفك عنه من أفك قتل الخراصون الذين هم في غمرة ساهون يسألون أيان يوم الدين يوم هم على النار يفتنون ذوقوا فتنتكم هذا الذي كنتم به تستعجلون. Knock, 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 knock. Do you see this? Short bursts, absolute eloquence, subhanAllah. That even if you didn't want to listen, you will listen, subhanAllah. Really penetrative verses. Allah begins it, not only with penetration, but taking an oath by much of His creation. And only Allah can take an oath by His creation. No one from the creation of Allah can take an oath by the creation of Allah. We can only take an oath by Allah. So we say Wallahi, we say Billahi, we say Tallahi, using the three letters of an oath in the Arabic language. Waw and Ba and Ta. But we only swear by Allah. Only Allah can take an oath by other than Allah. Why? Because He is the creator of everything that exists. So when He says, وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى, an oath by the winds that blow and scatter dust in the desert, dispersing dust, who created that wind and that dust and the act of dispersing? It's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if Allah, in a few words, with the short burst, is blowing up the minds of the Quraysh to the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His lordship, subhanallah. فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقَرَى, He takes an oath by the clouds carrying loads of water. فَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرَى, takes an oath by the ships sailing the seas with ease despite its weight and its load. فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرَى, and He takes an oath by the angels apportioning each matter. Allah says, إِنَّمَا تُوعَدُونَ لَصَادِقَ. So He takes an oath and an oath and an oath and an oath and an oath. This is grabbing your attention, grabbing your attention, bigging up your understanding of who Allah is, all those rububiyyah, everything around me is Him. He says, indeed, what you are promised is true. What the messenger has come to is true. That's the impact. Subhanallah.
He says, وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعَ, and indeed the day of judgment will happen. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْحُبُكَ, and by the heaven containing pathways. Now it shifts back to taking an oath. Allah is taking an oath by His creation, His rububiyyah again. إِنَّكُمْ لَفِي قَوْلٍ مُخْتَلِفٍ, indeed you are differing in speech. يُؤْفَكُ عَنْهُ مَنْ أُفِكَ, deluded away from the Qur'an is he who is deluded. The truth stands by itself. If you are deluded with the Quran, you are deluded. The Quran is upon the haqq and the truth. It's the word of Allah. قُتِلَ الْخَرَّاصُونَ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. If you are a disbeliever and you were hit with this verse, subhanallah, if you don't say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, I believe, I don't know what will. For Allah says, قُتِلَ, this is even in Arabic eloquence within the Arabs. This term is very powerful when you say قُتِل, describing something as having been killed. Allah says, destroyed are the falsifiers. Destroyed are the falsifiers, those who worship false gods. And they falsify the worship of those gods. They are destroyed. Allah says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي غَمْرَةٍ سَاهُونَ, who are within a flood of confusion and heedlessness. يَسْأَلُونَ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الدِّينَ, they ask, when is the day of judgment going to come? All the different narratives and discussions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with these people is coming down as a downpour of verses from the heavens with such eloquence upon a poetic arc that was never known to the Arabs. Some are questioning him about this. Some are calling him a poet. Some are saying this day of Qiyamah, there's no life after death. The Quran is dealing with it. Allah says, يَوْمَ هُمْ عَلَى النَّارِ يُفْتَنُونَ, it is the day they will be tormented over the fire. ذُوقُوا فِتْنَتَكُمْ, and it will be said to them, taste your torment. هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, this is the day that you were impatient over. Wallahi, I don't know what will make us understand the Quran if these few words don't. From the ayat that we see, so Allah takes us here and then He shifts us. There's this shift in narrative. Not shift in the eloquence and the poetic arc, in the narrative. Allah has dealt with the beginning in a strong way. Everyone's listening. Allah starts revealing the qualities of the believers. What does He say? إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ, indeed the righteous will be amongst gardens and springs. آخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ, accepting of what their Lord has given them. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ, indeed before they were people who did good deeds. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون, they used to sleep a little of the night and stand in prayer during the night. وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون, and in the hours before dawn, during suhoor time, they would ask Allah to forgive them. وفي أموالهم حق للسائل والمحروم, and from their properties was they gave in charity, from their wealth, from their property, the poor and the needy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here describes the qualities of the believers. Then Allah shifts again and He brings to us a flood of verses pertaining to His rububiyyah, His lordship. Again, without the poetic arc changing. Allah says, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٍ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ, and on earth are signs for you. Just look around you, you will find Allah. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, and look in yourself. أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, do you not see? Do you not see? You have a heart with four chambers that beats without you needing to remember it beating. Allah makes it beat without you needing to worry about it beating. If you were given the task of managing your life, you would be dead because you forget. You would forget to remember that your heart has to beat. How many things do we forget, brothers and sisters in Islam? Four chambers, you got ventricles, atriums, between them bicuspid valves. Where did this come from? Each has a purpose. You have arteries that take oxygenated blood and veins that carry deoxygenated blood, except one artery, the pulmonary artery. It carries deoxygenated blood because it sends blood to the lungs, and one vein, the pulmonary vein, it carries oxygenated blood different to its purpose because it's sending blood back to the heart. Because veins take blood back to the heart and arteries take blood away from the heart. Such a perfect system. Where did you get this from? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, look in yourself. أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, do you not find Allah in your creation? In your existence? Subhanallah. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوعَدُونَ. And in the heavens are your provisions set, and whatever Allah has promised you. Our brother said he was going through difficulty. Allah bless him, and Allah has empowered him. May Allah bless him with his wealth. I said to you the other day, this particular verse, that the pound crashing doesn't affect your rizq. Inflation rising doesn't affect your rizq. Inflation rising, the pound crashing, these are matters on earth. Allah says, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ. Your sustenance is controlled in the heavens. Nothing that happens on earth affects what happens in the heavens. Earth is the work of man. Heavens is the work of God. SubhanAllah, I feel exhausted, wallah, just from these verses. That's how potent these verses are. That's how potent these verses are. Allah says, فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقْ مِثْلَ مَا أَنَّكُمْ تَنْطِقُونَ. Then by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, indeed it is the truth, just as sure as it is that you are speaking. Now, I'll end now inshallah, but there's one point I have to share with you. It's impossible for me to leave Surah Dhariyat without sharing this with you, because inshallah what I share with you will be the game changer as well. I need you to take this lesson through with you to the rest of your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in Surah Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Some translations say, mankind and jinnkind were created to worship Allah. And this is not a precise translation. This is not a precise translation. Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That mankind and jinnkind were not created except to worship Allah. There's a difference in these two statements. Well, to make it clearer, let's share a simplified example. Come here, my brother. MashaAllah. Come stand in front of the audience. What's our brother's name?
Abdullah.
This is Abdullah. If I said to you, Abdullah is standing, and I said to you thereafter, there's nothing about Abdullah except that he is standing, do you understand the same thing or two different things? Abdullah is standing, and there's nothing about him except that he's standing. Same thing or two different things? What's the difference? Ah, mashallah. So Blackburn has, mashallah, intelligent people. Absolutely. In linguistics, if we say Abdullah is standing, this is known as an open-ended sentence. Meaning the meaning's open-ended. We can say Abdullah standing and he has a turban that is red and white, and he has an ayn thawb, mashallah, and he bench presses about 150 pounds. We can add to it, huh? Yeah? But if I say there's nothing about him except that he is standing, this is a closed-ended sentence. Meaning nothing else matters about him, not what he's wearing, not how he's dressed, not the tone of his skin. Nothing matters except the fact that he is standing. Are we clear? Barakallahu fik. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. There's nothing about you existing except that you exist to worship Allah. Allah didn't say we created mankind and jinnkind to worship Allah. He said, we didn't create mankind and jinnkind except to worship Allah. Now people raise question marks with this. They say, SubhanAllah, how does this make sense now, ya Sheikh? Say, how does this make sense? Because Allah says, go search for your rizq. You have to go get a job. We have bills to pay. Allah says, go for Jumu'ah, then go into the land and search. If we were only created to worship Allah, we should be in the masjid, we should be fasting every day, we should be going for hajj regularly, it shouldn't be once a lifetime, and. So people raise this question. How do we marry between what you just said and the fact that we have to attend to life? And there's no contradiction. Many people feel this is a contradiction. There's no contradiction. The issue is we have not understood worship. The meaning, I am here to tell you. So is his intention correct or not? It's incorrect. The intention has to be for Allah. Otherwise, this is not ibadah. This is a shirk. This is associating partners with Allah. So this is one function of the niyyah, to confirm an act of worship that was revealed as an act of worship to be an act of worship. The other function of the niyyah is to differentiate between two acts of worship. For example, the two farad of fajr and the two sunnah of fajr. How do we differentiate between the two? Through the niyyah, correct?
Let's say you stand, you pray Sunnah of Fajr, Fatiha wal Asr, Fatiha Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Then you stand up to pray Fajr, the obligatory units, Fatiha wal Asr, Fatiha Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Same surahs, same length salah, same direction you faced, same clothes you are wearing, same wudu, everything was the same. What differentiates between this act and that act? What differentiates between the two? The intention. Very good. The intention. Excellent. There's another function of the niyyah many of us don't know. And I tried to teach this once across many universities across the country because it's important. Those who go to university and those who have a job as well. How many hours do you spend going to university? How many hours do you spend studying? All these hours, it has to mean something. The intention is a function or gives us the function, the ability to convert a mundane activity of life into an act of worship. How? By making the purpose for what you do your Lord. Now bear with me. I can see people are straining their eyes. What's he saying? What's he saying? Bear with me. Habba habba, huh? We'll take this slowly but surely. I have seen, unfortunately, that many people conflate result for purpose. You ask a student at university, why are you studying? For the degree. You ask a brother who owns a company, why do you have this company? He says, for money. That's what they say. Isn't the degree a result of what you do? Isn't money a result of your job? You ask a brother going to the gym, like Abdullah, goes to the gym a lot. Abdullah, we need to now upgrade your membership. Why are you going to the gym? Because to be strong. Isn't that a result of going to the gym? Meaning, let me rephrase it for you. If you went to university, you did all your assignments, you attended all your classes, you passed all your exams. At the end, can the university say, we are not giving you your degree because your intention was not to study for the degree, your intention was for something else? Can the university say that? Yes or no? You run on a treadmill. How many calories are you going to burn, Abdullah? 20 minutes on the treadmill. 150? Maybe? 150 on the treadmill. And then you eat 3 Oreo biscuits. Khalas. Huh? All that 20 minutes, or 3 Oreos, few seconds, and you lost your time. Can the treadmill say to you, brother, ma'alesh? Huh? This is an Arabic statement. Meaning, brother, I'm sorry. You ran on me for 20 minutes, but you didn't run to lose weight. So you didn't lose any calories, I'm sorry. That running was in vain. Can the treadmill say that? Yes or no? It's a result of doing it, not so? It's physics, it's going to happen. That's how it works. Many of us live our life like this. Void of purpose. Allah says, we didn't create you except to worship Allah. Meaning, except to be in the remembrance of Allah. For this to happen, you have to engage the niyyah, which is a tool Allah gives a believer. Unfortunately, we are going about our daily life void of this verse in our life from Surah Al-Dhariyat. And we are living it like the non-Muslims live it. The non-Muslims, they work for money. They gym to be fit. They sleep for whatever reason. They holiday for whatever reason. It's all worldly related. It's a result. It's going to happen. The Muslim makes Allah their purpose for that which they do. So that action becomes an action in the remembrance of Allah. And as such, it becomes a form of the worship of Allah. Because the niyyah has an ability to convert a mundane action of life into an act of worship. Yes, it won't have the same rewards as a salah and so on and so forth. But it will be nonetheless an act of worship. Now think about it, brothers and sisters in Islam. Jannah is for us. It is a vast land that needs building on it. It needs trees to be planted. It needs streams to be dug. If you lived for 60 years, to 60 to 70 years, and you only built Jannah when you came for Salah, or when you fasted Ramadan, or when you read the Quran, or when you went for Hajj, what percentage of your Jannah would you build? Let's say you have a Jannah that spans 60 years of your life, what percentage would you build? How many minutes in your day do you spend praying Salah? How many minutes in your year do you spend fasting as opposed to eating? Do you get me? But Jannah is telling you, all of me is ready for you to build on me. The only difference will be the intensity of your building. When you pray Salah, the building is more intense.
When you're at your work, it might be less intense, but building will still happen. But how can I go to my work every day and build Jannah? How can I go to university every day and build Jannah? How can I go to the gym and build Jannah? How? By making Allah the purpose for why you're studying your degree, the purpose for why you are going to your job, the purpose for why you're going to the gym. You see, there's a difference. If your purpose is to lose weight, that's why you go to the gym. It's different to the one who goes to the gym because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised the stronger believer. And he taught us that this body is an amanah. And I intend to be healthier so I can worship Allah better. Now there's a whole shift in purpose. You're not there for yourself in the dunya. You're there for the pleasure of Allah. As for getting fit, it's a result. It's going to happen. There's a difference between someone who goes to university to study for the degree and becoming an engineer for the degree. I want to get a degree. The money is good. People respect us. Right? I want to become an accountant, a lawyer, an engineer, a doctor, for whatever reason, whatever goodwill that might be attached to it. And the one who says, I am becoming an IT specialist, I am becoming an engineer, a software programmer, a data analyst, I'm a mechanic, I'm this, I'm that. I am doing it. Why? To represent Islam in this field here. To bring the character of Islam in a field whereby the character of Islam is lacking or missing. I'm going to be the mechanic upon the sunnah who looks like a Muslim and deals with people like a Muslim, different to the others. This is my da'wah. I will be a golfer. I will be a sports person. I will be an engineer, a doctor, to represent Islam in this field. There's a whole different ballgame. You are trading with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. And if we shift, look, it's not going to take anything away from you. What? Is there anything different? Is your degree going to get harder? Is your job going to get harder? It's all the same work. It's just you engaging Allah with your heart. And all of a sudden, your time leaving home is ibadah. In the car, it's ibadah. Going to work, it's ibadah. Your time at work is ibadah. When you come home, it's ibadah. Many people say, Sheikh, I want to work in the da'wah. Why you want to work in the da'wah? Because wallahi, I want to worship Allah. Hey, brother, this is a wrong understanding. Islam needs doctors, lawyers. We need all these entities. You build Jannah by being in your field, but by looking like a Muslim, speaking like a Muslim, dealing like a Muslim, showing the mercy of Islam and the wisdom of Islam and the transformative benefit of Islam and the justice of Islam in this field. And this is why I say to my youth that I don't want you to become doctors and lawyers and engineers and so on and so forth. They go, oh, Sheikh, how can you say this? I say, no, I don't want you to be a doctor. I want you to be the best doctor, the reference doctor, the reference lawyer, the reference engineer, the reference pharmacist, the reference mechanic, the reference sportsman. That you should be the standard setter in terms of ethical values in this field. And as such, you will be trading with Allah every time you're in this field. Imagine your son's going through some difficult exam and you say, son, you're going to your exam, and he goes, no, dad, I'm going to build Jannah. Look at the difference now. Wife says to the husband, Assalamu alaikum, you're going to work. He goes, no, I'm going to build Jannah. You see what happens? It's a whole shift. This is where the ummah should be. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Ibn al-Qayyim says, Allah has angels created just to build our Jannah. When the slave is in the remembrance of Allah, the angels are busy planting the trees, digging the streams, building the palaces, burying the treasures. And when the slave comes out of the remembrance of Allah, the angels take a break and they don't need to take a break. Imagine you could sleep in the remembrance of Allah, work in the remembrance of Allah, worship, of course, that's going to be in the remembrance of Allah because that is ibadah in and of itself. 24 cycle of being in the remembrance of Allah. You'll be true to the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Stop conflating result for purpose. The result is a matter of physics. Make Allah the purpose for your waking, for your sleeping, for your doing. Find Allah in that which you do, and that act will become a Jannah building exercise. That is the tafsir of وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ. Now my brothers and sisters, I don't want you to go back sad, because I know some of the elders will be thinking, لَا حَوَلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Where was this lesson when I was younger? Where was this lesson when I was younger? MashaAllah, for those who are young, هَنِيئًا لَكُمْ. Inshallah, you be صَدَقَةُ jariya for me. Ya Isa? And my message to the elders is, don't be sad. Rather be empowered and thank Allah that, Ya Allah, you brought to me this message. Wallahi, 50,000 years before you created the heavens and the earth, it was in your qadr that I will be in the masjid on a day when this message will be shared. All you have to do now is
deal with Allah. Go home, or your next salah, and raise your hands and talk to Him. What did the pious before us used to say? They used to say, whoever wants Allah to talk to them, read the Quran. And whoever wants to talk to Allah, make dua. Go and talk to Allah. Raise your hand, say, Ya Allah, Wallahi, Ya Allah, I didn't know this lesson. Ya Allah, I'm 40 years old, I'm 50 years old, I'm 60 years old, I'm almost 70. Ya Allah, I didn't know this lesson. Had I known, Wallahi, it's my heartfelt desire, Ya Allah, that I would have lived like this, had I known. Ya Allah, You are the most forgiving, the most merciful. Your bounties have no limits. Ya Allah, reward me for having lived the life in Your remembrance as if I had knowledge of this verse when I was living through the best moments of my life. And get up from your spot believing that your Jannah has just expanded exponentially, that Allah has given you what you've asked for. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This is how the believers trade with Allah, and how Allah wants the believers to trade with Allah. Allah loves this when His slave asks Allah, and asks with no hesitation, that Ya Allah, I'm asking You to give me the Jannah as if I lived my whole life in Your remembrance. When I see You on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah, I'm confident that I will see it. And help me from today, Ya Allah, to do that. Every activity that I'm doing, help me find You in that which I do. Insha'Allah. 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 Allah bless you all. I will stop here. Hada wallahu a'lam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. May Allah subhanahu Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ. We're reminding people using the Quran. This verse is from the Quran. Wallahi, nothing from me, brothers and sisters in Islam. The verse is from your Lord. I'm not sharing with you fairy tales. I'm here to teach you what the Quran teaches us when it comes to us having a desire to die the death of the people of Istiqamah. Connecting the dots, inshallah. Ya Allah, Shakur, He's the most forgiving, and He's Shakur, He's the one who acknowledges the actions of His slaves. Allah sees us and He sees our hearts, as we read in Surah Qaf. He knows what's deep within us, subhanah. Allah will give us, inshallah. Why not? He is Ghani. Wa antum al fuqara, as Allah says in Surah Fatir. Ya ayyuhan nasu antum al fuqara ila Allah. That, O mankind, you are impoverished, poor creation in comparison to Allah. Wallahu, and you Allah, huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. He is the absolutely perpetual rich one, the owner and possessor of praise, al-hamid. Subhanah. Absolutely perpetually rich. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لو أن إنسكم وجنكم, if all of mankind and all of jinnkind, from the first jinn and the first mankind, gathered together with the last jinn and the last of mankind, you all came together and you asked from Allah, and you asked again, and you begged, and you asked, and Allah gave you, and gave you, and gave you, and gave you, and then multiplied what He gave you. After giving you, you will not reduce from the bounties of Allah, except the reduction that is experienced when you dip a needle in an ocean and lift it. What hangs on to the needle? Don't even say a drop, because we know the drop falls back into the ocean. It decreases nothing from Allah's bounties. Go pursue this night seeking from that bounty. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Until next time, salamu alayhi wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuh.